So glucocerebrosidase, or GBA for short, very common, these mutations, in certain communities such as the Ashkenazi Jewish community, where Gaucher's disease is, of course, common. Patients who have mutations of this gene develop very typical Parkinson's disease. You can't tell them apart in the clinic. Maybe they have slightly earlier onset of some cognitive dysfunction. But that's about it, really. You can't tell them apart. They get the Parkinson's disease slightly earlier, but not terribly different. The pathology is the same. The alpha-synuclein, the Lewy bodies, is all the same. The brain scan looks the same. They respond the same to the drugs. So by all means with which we know Parkinson's disease, these individuals are no different. And when you look at the brains of patients with Parkinson's disease who have died, but who had mutations of this glucocerebrosidase, you see a reduction in the activity of the enzyme, as you would anticipate, particularly in those parts of the brain that are responsible for producing Parkinson's disease. So, no big surprise. Patients have the mutation, they have the gene, they've got reduced activity of the enzyme in the brain where Parkinson's disease occurs. What is a big surprise is that you see the same problem in patients with Parkinson's disease who don't have the mutation. So how could this be? These patients who've died of Parkinson's disease have normal GBA genes, and yet they've still got a deficiency. Now, fair enough, not as severe as those with mutations, but nevertheless still very significant. So how could this be? And this is a very interesting and, I think, important observation. But what that has led people to is to discover a hugely important relationship between GBA, or its enzyme as we know it, glucocerebrosidase, and alpha-synuclein, here abbreviated as SNCA. Because what we now know is mutations, for instance, in the GBA gene that causes reduction in the enzyme activity lead to accumulation of alpha-synuclein. And accumulation of alpha-synuclein leads to a reduction in the enzyme activity. So you can see here the potential for a self-amplifying cycle of events that is going to damage the cell, the nerve cell. And the nerve cell is important in Parkinson's disease. So you might want to think, well, what about if we increase glucocerebrosidase? Will that reduce alpha-synuclein? So, more of that later. Because now I want to switch to the other part of the second part of my talk, which is the treatment for Parkinson's disease. Now, this again is divided in two parts. It's the symptomatic treatment of Parkinson's disease, that's improving symptoms, and then it's the neuroprotection of Parkinson's disease, or trying to slow the disease down or provide a cure. So I'm going to go through the symptomatic treatments very quickly because you'll be familiar with them. And I'm going to draw your attention to some new treatments for the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. So this is what we have, basically. We have levodopa and all its forms, and the monoamine oxidase B inhibitors, selegiline, rasagiline. We have the dopamine agonists in all their forms, tablets once a day, patches, and so on. We have, in some cases, moved from just tablets to infusions for those patients that need it, like the Duodopa infusions or the apomorphine infusions. But you'll be familiar with these because they're all available for the treatment of Parkinson's disease, and they've all resulted in a very significant improvement in the quality of life of patients with Parkinson's disease. Of course, they're far from a cure. They're not a cure. They're treating the symptoms. Levodopa is the most effective treatment for Parkinson's disease, but it has its problems. And people have been trying to get round the problems of levodopa, its delivery, its mechanism of action, by producing new formulations of levodopa. So there's inhaled levodopa, subcutaneous levodopa, infusions of levodopa, different slower-acting forms of levodopa, and so on. So a huge number of attempts to try and improve levodopa. But I have to say, good though it is, it's difficult to work with, difficult to improve. Nevertheless, there's a new drug currently looking for a license with the FDA that is a slower-acting levodopa. You'll know that levodopa, many patients start taking 3 times a day, but can end up taking 7 or 8 times a day. Well, here is a new form of levodopa that may come on the market in the next 1 or 2 or 3 years that, as you can see here, improves patients for much longer from a single tablet. So this is a very important improvement, practical improvement, for Parkinson's disease. Apomorphine is a dopamine agonist, but it can't be taken by mouth. You've got to inject it. But here are some new forms of apomorphine. One that's an inhaler, and another that you can put under your tongue. So these are very advantageous because it means that you can get a quick onset of benefit for motor function from an easily delivered form of apomorphine.